Sunday from 11 to 1:30 in the afternoon is going to be partially taken up with live transmissions from Washington and the protests going on there at the nation's capital. But I don't expect that all of it will be taken up with that. Some of it's going to be pretty boring and quiet, so I'm hoping we can kind of mix and match a little bathrobes, piers, broadsides with ongoing news. Now, I had promised, I made a special promise to an 85-year-old resident of the Palomar Hotel that we're going to be playing the her interview on the Robert Stephan issue. She has some real concerns about Robert Stephan and the fact that he is indeed occupying the same bench every day, 7 days a week, 26 weeks since October, and she feels this has a deleterious effect on other people. Robert Stephan also tends to say to people who sit down next to him that he wishes they wouldn't be there. Not that he's threatening in any way, but he is candid, so in essence he takes up a whole bench for a whole day. I myself gotten a little miffed that Robert has gotten so uncommunicative generally. He generally doesn't say anything to anyone, leading some to say, oh dear, he's mentally ill, he's getting autistic, he's schizophrenic, yak, yak, yak. But in fact, he's simply kind of your modern-day Diogenes, a kind of taking an extreme position and following it out to the end, it looks like to me. When we originally did a lot of talking, three or four months ago, he talked about what he in essence was talking about. He's running for president in downtown here on the Pacific Garden Mall. In the sense, he was presenting a platform. I don't think he expects to win. He's certainly not doing campaigning in the conventional style, but he is making a point. And the point to me seems to me to be there's no affordable housing in Santa Cruz for a lot of people. There's not even legal places to sleep for over 1,000 people every night in Santa Cruz. Homeless Services Center had him towed away, sent to the jail three times for sleeping on their front porch, and they wouldn't give him a place in their program because they claimed he wouldn't follow their rules sufficiently. And that being the case, he decided he would simply not sleep downtown. That's illegal. He is acting legally, which is infuriating the merchants and infuriating some of the older residents and infuriating the police because they can't find a legal way to get rid of him. Well, he has a right to be there. It's the bottom line. And in a way, he's kind of a symbol of freedom for some folks. And we're going to hear actually a little bit from Jerry Henry, who himself is doing his own fight about that issue. I'm going to apologize, though, again, to the woman who I spoke to yesterday. I am going to try to find... I'm having trouble locating that tape of interviews, and it's not that I don't want to play you. I do, because I think it's important that your voice be heard. But you are going to have to try to tune in, I suppose, either next week at this time, if you're listening out there in the Palomar, or on Sunday from 11 to 1:30. And I really do apologize. I am surrounded with tapes, and I am confused. I have found this tape. It's not the same tape as your tape. If I do find it before the hour is up, I will play it, but unfortunately, time goes real quickly, and we only have 20 minutes left in this Civil Rights in Santa Cruz show. So here's a little snippet, a report from Jerry Henry on the Robert Stephan situation today. When I arrived today, Robert was sitting alone on the bench under his umbrella and under his black plastic. Apparently all the folks had disappeared, and I thought, well, at least they're leaving him alone. But I learned that they apparently were there that morning occupying benches and continuing what to me amounts to kind of a harassment effort. I suppose it's an attempt they feel to assert their rights. I'd say they'd be better advised putting in more benches, but I guess that would mean more people, possibly more Robert Stephan type people, which is a horrifying thought to some folks. You know, I think if there were more facilities, there would be less concerns, but I could be wrong. Anyway, here's a little bit of a report on that.
So it's about 4:15. And we're checking out the scene at Hippie Planter, see what's going on. Notice that half of Hippie Planter is almost completely deserted. The other half near the sushi now has got folks here.
And a little background. Several days ago, Ali of Alibaba's Cafe got into some heavy, threatening shouting matches I wasn't there. I heard it was one-sided, mostly on his part. He was very upset with people who were chalking the sidewalk with slogans about the sleeping ban, as well as at young people who cluster at Hippie Planter near the New Leaf Market. And he filed numerous complaints against people for chalking on the sidewalk, some of whom said they had nothing to do with the chalking, but they were just part of a group of people who were there. One fellow got two tickets, and I believe I played his statement last show. In any case, I wandered over to see how things were. Things seem to have mellowed out, although apparently there are more complaints about chalking today. And as I said, James Ney got yet another potential $162 chalking ticket, or possibly a big financial settlement on on his side. I would hope that's what comes of this, because I think it's been clearly established in different cities that erasable chalk on the sidewalk is not a violation of any reasonable code. So here we go. We're now going to hear a little bit more about Hippie Planter, and we're going to hear from Jerry Henry, the activist who himself was arrested for so-called interfering with a business by being critical of deputy sheriffs and employees of Gottschalk's and the coffee roasting company out in the Aptos shopping center, and jailed on a $100,000 bail, not once, but twice, and now faces 10 years in jail for interfering with the business verbally outside by essentially making statements about the business that, as far as I know, they're certainly debatable, and I would suggest they're probably true. But anyway, here he is now in Santa Cruz looking at the Robert Steffen situation.
So what's happening here, Mr. Jerry Henry? I noticed that collection of folks here. Anything unusual happening today?
Not that I know. Good. The green stuff's coming up through the cement.
Frightening, man. Frightening.
I know.
You were there with Robert Steffen this morning, or you heard a story about it. What happened?
Well, I was there, and they were... Robert was sitting next to the light pole, and there was four people in his benches.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in the two benches, there were four people sitting down. And
were
then
these old-timers from the hotel?
Old-timers, and then one got up, and I tried to sit down. Uh-huh. She sat back down, didn't want me to sit there, and then she got up a little while later, and the guy sitting next to her put his feet up in the bench and wouldn't let Robert sit down. And finally, he got up, and Robert was able to sit down. I think personally that Robert, as long as he doesn't bother anybody, if he wants to spend his last day sitting there and he's peaceful, he needs to be able to sit there.
Well, I noticed he's returned to his original original place when I was there later this afternoon. He was in the same seat as ever, and I commended him on his persistence.
Yeah. I don't know if I totally understand the man, but I admire the man. I don't know that I could do what he's doing.
Thank you. So how long did it looks like the effort today had less energy than the one yesterday.
There was a police car across the street. I was there about probably 30 minutes before he got his seat. I know they had him locked out of his seat when I...
Did he have anything to say about any of this?
Well, they were trying to shove him over the side. He was trying to tell the person that he was only allowed one seat when the guy put his feet up in the seat and wouldn't, you know, was obviously just taking the benches. When I was told I couldn't sit, the guy told me that he was saving the seat for somebody.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't say anything, but it was pretty obvious what they were doing, and I think the solution is more benches.
No, that's a ridiculous idea. Some brilliant suggestions from Jerry Henry for Ali, or any business down here. I want you to repeat those. I think we need... No, please, spare me your vicious comments.
It's like, I've really felt this, that if some of these businesses had come out and look at some of these kids that they see are the problem and see that they could be the solutions and walk up to a kid and say, hey, would you like lunch? And the kid would help clean up around the place, make the place a little better for him. And creative solutions that were positive steps forward for everybody. I've always felt that about the roasting company in Aptos. I wouldn't have been taking my tables away. I would have been putting tables, and I would have had a waiter. But then I grew up in the restaurant bar.
Mike Rutkin would have told you that if you do that, 10 million people, 10 million young
people. That's what Claudia Easterby said at Gottschalk.
Well, you see, it's the same.
Yeah.
She's obviously she got it from the Rutkin school of
Potshock
perception, I guess.
But I really think the merchants could really go a long ways down here. And I know their rents are expensive, and I wish there was a program where anybody in our town that wanted to come help could show up at 7 in the morning and help clean these little messes up, sweep up the cigarette butts, and maybe there'd be even coffee and donuts and stuff for
you
by our great merchants.
You're just feeding them. More
if I couldn't
come,
dream,
they'll
what
come.
Can I
they'll
do?
Come and they'll
they'd get me in depression, and I'd be gone if I couldn't.
You're going to create a depression with your treasonous talk. Ignore everything you just heard.
And I, of course, was being facetious. Jerry Henry's suggestions are, of course, the height of reasonable and creative solutions. But, of course, instead we have Catherine Byers' hospitality squad, the hosts, whose headquarters is right next to the Del Mar Theater. Their job seems to be harassing people who chalk on the sidewalk, homeless people who sit down, supporting merchants against poor people walking about, and just generally serving as the eyes and ears of the police and the merchants, which I find kind of counter to the spirit of Santa Cruz, and I suspect others do the same. What I'm going to play now is a rather shocking testimony. We've heard Doug McGrath of the Homeless Issues Task Force. He's a volunteer with that task force before it collapsed and essentially folded into the nothingness from which it came. But while they were there, good activists thought they were doing good things. One of the things that Doug McGrath did was he interviewed, he went around, he found out about a homeless man who had been beaten in the face by a police officer. And here's a tape of the man who actually happened to come by the stand. He told me at the time he could play it, that I could play it, that is, on the radio, and I'm going to do that. I think it's important to make this public.
To an anonymous individual, tell me what happened when.
Okay, what happened was I was walking down the street, and I was intoxicated.
Yes.
And they did this shit to me.
Remember what day this was?
2 nights ago.
And you remember where this happened?
Yes, it was over there in, over by the shelter.
Okay, and do you know who did this?
Yes, I have paperwork on it.
And was this a person in uniform or out of uniform?
In uniform.
Do we know the name of this officer?
Martin.
Officer Martin. And what time of day was it?
It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Any witnesses?
No.
Now, I'm looking at your face, and I see it looks like a scab on your upper forehead, on the middle of your forehead, your nose on the left side. Looks like it has scab and stitches. Any other injuries that are not immediately obvious?
No.
And what exactly was the nature of the attack on you? How did it happen?
They felt that I was intoxicated.
Yes. You were intoxicated?
Yes.
And what did they do? Did they? Were you hit? Did you fall? Were you?
No, they hit me with
a baton. Billy club.
Not billy club.
Flashlight.
Flashlight.
And did they say anything as they hit you with a flashlight?
I refused to get into.
The squad car?
Yes.
You were being arrested for being intoxicated?
Right.
And you declined to get into the squad car?
Right.
And it was Officer Martin who hit you with the flashlight?
Yes.
And once you were in the squad car, do you have a memory of what happened after that?
No, I was pretty much out there.
Were you taken to the hospital?
They took me over to Providence.
Mm-hmm.
And
Providence? Not Dominican?
Oh, Dominican.
Dominican,
yeah.
Okay. And what happened there? Do you remember that? Were you awake when that happened? Or?
Yeah.
What happened at Dominican?
They stitched me up and they let me go from there.
Okay. I work for Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I would like to play this tomorrow night on Free Radio. How do you feel about that?
Cool.
Would you like to give your name?
Charles.
And your last name?
Nicolini.
How do you spell that?
N-I-C-O-L-I-N-I.
And Charles, how long have you been a Santa Cruz resident?
I've been kicking around here about 5 months.
Where are you from?
St. Paul.
And what do you make of Santa Cruz? Any comments about the town?
It's okay. I mean,
is this the first such encounter you've had with the police, or has this happened before?
Yes, it has happened before.
Have you been actually beaten by police officers before?
Yes.
And when did that happen?
Like 5 months ago.
Was it in Santa Cruz or was it elsewhere?
No, it was right down. I was over there beach and boardwalk.
And what happened?
Well, they pretty much beat me up again.
Now, what was it, with a flashlight? Was it with a baton? Was it with fists? Was it
batons?
And how many police officers were involved?
Two.
And was it similar circumstance? Were you drunk?
No, and I wasn't drunk.
Okay, and what happened on that occasion?
They hit me with their billy clubs on my legs and arms.
And did they take you to jail?
Yes.
What were you arrested for?
They got me for being homeless.
Being homeless, but what was that? You remember the charge, though?
No, I don't have the ticket.
Did you go to court and actually serve time in jail, or did you get convicted?
No, they just let me go.
Let you go. How long were you held in jail? Do you remember?
72 hours.
And do you remember how many officers were involved in this assault?
Just one.
Do you remember his name?
No, I don't.
Was he a police officer or was he a boardwalk person?
I'm not sure.
Was he in blue or was he in some other uniform?
Black.
He was in black. So he might not have been a police officer. It might have been another kind of security guard or first alarm, perhaps, or...
First alarm,
maybe a boardwalk seaside security guard. Well, Charles, I appreciate the update. Anything you want to say for folks out there on free radio?
Yes. Please take care of our people.
That's at least two members of the Santa Cruz Police Department, according to one drunken fellow. And frankly, this story was corroborated by at least two other people who I did not talk to directly. But as far as I know, Officer Martin, and there are two of them, both of them are still serving on the force. They're on the street, and no action has been taken regarding these officers at all. O Citizens Police Review Board, O Sandy Brown, O Mayor Keith Sugar, where are you? This man's face had a long scab scar running from his forehead down to his chin. Didn't look pretty to me. Anyway, that's about it for Bathrobe Spears Broadsides tonight on Free Radio Santa Cruz. So you're going to be soon hearing Uncle Dennis come rolling your way with Earth First. I'm sure he's got some stuff that you're going to need to be writing down and doing some action on, and I would encourage you to think about some action with respect to my show, too. The Armory closes in 2 days, and now is really the optimum moment for people who will not have a place to sleep to be supported by those of us who do have a place to sleep by taking over and establishing as a safe zone a real place to sleep for people. Not an ideal place to sleep that's all set up with nice kinds of facilities, but a place to sleep where we are saying to the community, we're going to hold this area, we're going to be here peacefully, we're going to be arrested if necessary until Mayor Sugar and his council, controlled by Catherine Byers, takes emergency action to make it legal for people to sleep at night, not anywhere, but somewhere in Santa Cruz. This can be done, I think it should be done today or tomorrow, but it can be done any time in the next week or two, presumably. But the most, of course, key point at which to do it is the point at which the armory closes, and that will be, unless there's some unusual circumstance and some strange extension, that will be Saturday night. That Saturday night, the armory will close. So I want folks out there to think about civil disobedience, and think about it seriously. I talk about civil disobedience a lot, but it's something I think that we have to consider, not just for folks up in Seattle, not just for people in starving in third world countries, not just in Washington, D.C., not just for redwood trees, and not just for endangered species. I'm talking about endangered human rights in Santa Cruz. We have to look at that, and we have to seriously consider it, as a lot of people did on April 11th when they came to City Council. And I think that there's going to be another meeting of the council on the 25th. I encourage us all to show up there and do a complete and hefty sleep out. But I think we have to act before then, and I encourage you to come down to the homeless table at the Del Mar Theater, which will be there tomorrow at noon and goes until 6 o'clock. Support James Ney, who they're probably going to drag off for chalking tomorrow. They've also threatened that if his table is set up on the sidewalk under the eaves of the Del Mar, even if it's not inside that Del Mar alcove, they're going to arrest him for trespass. That's another threat made by the police and by the hosts this evening, according to James Ney, before he took his table down at the usual time around 6, and I came to the show. So show up at noon tomorrow at the Del Mar to support James. And We've got to do some planning, and there's actually some protests in the works. Give a call to 423-HUFF if you want to be a part of this process, 423-4833. What we're going to do now is we're going to go out on the sweet strains of Phil Oakes and some of the tapes that, I guess these songs actually did make it to broadcast in different form, but they're still beautiful and worth hearing. And join me again for another edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides on Sunday, when I'll be back sort of on and off, because I'll be sharing time with the live feed from Washington, and that is important. I don't mean to demean protests in different cities. I think they're vital. But we have to remember our own here as well, or we're simply engaging in the kind of Rotkin-esque posing and posturing that we condemn. That is to say, support rights for those in Nicaragua, but let the poor here get hauled away to jail and beaten up. Unfortunately, that's the current business as usual in Santa Cruz. We don't want that to continue. So thank you for being with me. Give a call to 423-HUFF off air. Come on down to the table in front of the Del Mar Theater tomorrow. And stay tuned for Uncle Dennis and Earth First as we listen to Phil Oakes. Thanks for being with me.
All around this country, trouble in the air, and I hear the voices calling me, asking, do you know and do you care? Do you know and do you care? So I'm gonna do what I have to do, say what I have to say, and I'm gonna be what I have to be. Now won't you come on along with me? Won't you come along with me? Cause no sorrow, don't wanna cause no pain. Oh, I'm only gonna talk what I have to talk until this land is free of shame. Till this land is free of shame. So I'm gonna do what I have to do, say what I have to say, and I'm gonna be what I have to be. Now won't you come on? I know we're not alone. Was a million here before we came. Be a million when we're gone, a million when we're gone. So I'm gonna do what I have to do, say what I have to say, and I'm gonna be what I have to be. Now won't you come on along with me? Won't you come along with me? Of jail, but I'm more afraid for not to try, more afraid what happens now if we fail, what happens now if we fail. So I'm gonna do what I have to do, say what I have to say, and I'm gonna be what I have to be. Now won't you come on along with me? When the river of rebellion overflows, I'll be there. When the seed of discontent plants and grows, I'll be there. Watching for the sun through the dark and rainy storm. Searching for the keys to the dungeons old and worn. Let me tell you, I'll be there. When the shadow of the tyrant falls and sweeps across the land. And when men would steal from others with a paper in their hands. When people search for answers and the answers never come. When their troubles would be over if they thought and fought as one. Oh, let me tell you, I'll be there. The whispering of yesterday has grown into a roar. Wind of freedom's blowing out of every distant shore. Oh, when the time is ready and the call is loud and clear. Let me tell you, I'll be there. When the thunder of oppression roars and crackles, I'll be there. And when and those who would be free are wearing shackles. I'll be there, for the day is gonna come when they'll throw away their chains, lift their heads and raise their arms for the struggle that remains. And let me tell you, I'll be there. Whispering of yesterday has grown into a roar. Wind of freedom's blowing out of every distant shore. Oh, when the time is ready and the call is loud and clear, let me tell you, I'll be there. When the thunder of oppression roars and crackles, I'll be there. And when those who would be free are wearing shackles, I'll be there. For the day is gonna come when they'll throw away their chains, lift their heads and raise their arms for the struggle that remains. And let me tell you, let me tell you, let me tell you, let me tell you, I'll be there.
And right here is Uncle Dennis. It's just about that time right here on Free Radio.
It's also the home to NAFTA Law Center. This direct action event will target the financial center of Southern Arizona, large banks, and NAFTA Law Center. We're planning to do a live telephone update from Tucson activists direct from D.C. who are battling the IMF and World Bank meetings. But here we go. Bring puppets, agitprops, banners, noisemakers, anti-corporate attitude, etc. for Festival of Resistance. We plan to be there until at least 6 p.m. So that's one more activity for you folks in Arizona. And I think we have a phone call that we should probably go to, huh? Ben, what do you think? Well, he's still thinking about it. But let's see. Okay, we're figuring things out here. This is community radio, so we're gonna go throw you on the air.
Hi, are you in D.C.?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what can you tell me about what's going on there now?
Okay, I am doing photography for the independent media. This morning, I was on the east side of IMF and World Bank. It was actually on the east side of the White House. We were on the corner of 14th and Pennsylvania.
On the corner of 14th and Pennsylvania, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was about, first, two buses arrived with escort of five police cars. Policemen in full riot gear got out of those two buses. And they came down, they had a little grouping, they were meeting. I was trying to contact people in legal.
You mean you were on the phone, like trying to call people at the time?
Mm-hmm. I was calling people at the time. And the exact time was 11:40 a.m. that the two bus arrived. And it was on the corner of, it was on the corner of 15th and E, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
And
why were you calling for legal help? I mean, just the sight of these cops in riot gear, you thought maybe, hey, what should I be doing now?
Well, there was no legal observers there.
Ah, so you were trying to get legal observers there.
Yeah.
Okay.
There were some people there, but they weren't, like, they were kind of just, like, having a standoff. People weren't, like, in particular, like, blockade or any shape or form. They were just kind of milling about and looking at what's going on. Why are these people here?
So you had two busloads of cops pull up with riot gear. Now, how many people would you say were milling about?
Probably at most 70, but they were all going to the permitted rally, but they were stopping to see what was going on. But they were all on the sidewalk, most of them.
And what happened?
Kind of passing. They approached the intersection of 15th and E. There were some of the protesters went up to them. There were about five or six people that got pushed away just by a police kind of really just marching forward. They were standing. They were trying to, like, prevent them from moving forward. They weren't able to do that. They went up north on 15th Avenue, and they went to the corner of 15th and Penn Station. And that's, like, about 11:47 a.m. And then about, like, almost close to noon, there was a confrontation between people who were blockading on the corner of Pennsylvania Avenue. And there were about 25 protesters there on the blockade. They were removed physically without any warrant or warning of any kind. They were just physically moved from that location by the riot police. I mean, there were about 70 riot police.
Uh-huh.
And they went inside the barricade after moving those 25 people. Several were hurt. I saw at least 3 ambulances. One was seriously hurt. So I was also calling medical aid, or I was just trying to get into, like, since I'm for the independent media, I was calling the indie media. As far as I know, there was no arrest that I saw. I was, like, in an elevated location. At 12:05, they started using pepper spray, just small tooth quartz, but again, there was no warning that they were going to use chemical coercion.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, there was one emergency response unit ambulance for us, I suppose. And at 12:34 p.m., one person was taken to GW Hospital.
Why?
George Washington?
No, why were they taken to the hospital?
I couldn't personally talk to them. They
probably
told me,
asthma.
What's that?
Probably
was,
asthma.
He was laying down, he was having difficulty breathing. He had a gas, he had not a gas mask, but like a mask on him to help him breathe. But I don't know, he looked like he was in pain of some sort. I don't know if it was just like breathing problems. But he was taken away by the ambulance.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying when the police start doing the gassing, and everyone that has asthma, it's pretty horrible for them, because all of those people will just drop and pass out. Everyone who has problems breathing, they drop and pass out. So when we were at WTO, elderly people and every young person that had asthma dropped to the ground.
See, the problem with this was that I was trying to like make announcements that permitted rally wasn't there, because there were so many people from, like, you know, just, like, seeing the crowd, thinking that it was a permitted rally. And, you know, on one hand, I called for support and mobilized, and, like, people with cameras, people who had legal training or medical, like, you know, emergency, like, technician skills, like, I told them to go over that way. But then, like, I tried to get other people to, like, go to the permitted rally. Because there were like children there, family, old people, and the tension was still very strong for quite a while, from like noon until 1:30 that I left to come to the permitted, and that's where I am.
So you're at the permitted rally now?
Yeah, I'm going to start marching, I guess, yeah.
And
so,
is that rally going to move to the World Bank and IMF and try to blockade the streets there? Or what's the plans for that permitted rally that you're at now? And what's the location that you're at now, too?
The permitted rally is on the ellipse, right in front of the White House. There is, oh my goodness, I don't know, maybe 8,000, 9,000, maybe more, 10,000. It's just, the ellipse is just completely packed full of people.
And it's pretty festive there right now?
What's that?
It's pretty festive there right now, the environment?
Yeah, it's Indigo Girls are singing right now.
Oh, they are, and people are dancing and having a good time there?
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you know about the status of the other non-permitted rally that you just left? Do you know if people are still there getting gassed, or if those people have been carted off? Have you heard anything?
I personally have not heard anything. I've been in contact with independent media as well as mainstream media. So we've been kind of sharing information with each other so that we can cover everything as much as possible. So far, I think the situation is still the same, where on West Side, I know it's starting 6:30 a.m. this morning, there was a lockdown in 5 different intersections, mainly by students and youth, because it's right by GW area. We wanted to, like, come across, you know, young and youth kind of walking around in their own neighborhood. But I think we took over that piece of pie or that region, because there were, it was, like, reaching critical mass about even 6:40 in the morning, and I was in the media center. making phone calls to make sure that it was documented, people were there.
And so that taking over these pie slices in the morning went very well?
What's that? I can't hear you.
So the pie slicing, you said that people kind of, everything was divided into pies, that taking over the pie slices, did that go over well this morning?
As far as I can understand, yes. I would say, like,